is DW News live from Berlin. Fears mount of a wider conflict in Ethiopia. As refugee numbers grow, the government accuses rebel forces in the northern Tigray region of firing rockets into other parts of the country. Also coming up, people line up for testing as the coronavirus spreads faster than ever in the United States. New York City closes bars and restaurants as it races to cut off a second wave of infections. And Armenians burn down their own homes in a disputed region rather than hand them over to Azerbaijan as part of a hated peace deal. I'm Marina Evanstein. Thanks for joining me. Ethiopia is now accusing Tigray regional forces of trying to escalate the conflict there by firing rockets at a neighboring region. The struggle between the central government and Tigray began last week after Addis Ababa claimed that the regional forces had attacked national military bases. Thousands of civilians have fled the fighting, many of them with harrowing stories.
A sprawling camp in Sudan as another refugee crisis unfolds. Thousands of Ethiopians have been streaming across the border, fleeing the fear and chaos of the latest fighting in the north. Many who arrive here bring stories of escalating violence and atrocities. Forces entered and burned our homes and killed people. They left us with nothing. So we fled here to Sudan. I left with my parents and my child, with only what we wore. Now we have nothing. We fled from death and murder. The exodus comes as Amnesty International reports evidence of a civilian massacre in the town of Maykadra in the northern Tigray region. Witnesses say the victims were hacked or stabbed to death. Most are believed to be ethnic Amharas, a region with a long history of tensions with Tigray. The UN's Human Rights Commission is voicing alarm.
The High Commissioner is calling for a full inquiry. If confirmed as having been deliberately carried out by a party to the current fighting, these killings of civilians would, of course, amount to war crimes.
It's still unclear who's responsible. The mass killings followed days of clashes between federal troops and Tigrayan forces. The region has become the latest flashpoint stemming from Ethiopia's complex ethnic politics. Tigrayans controlled Ethiopia's central government for 30 years, but their power has waned under Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, who came to power in 2018. Increasing resentment and tensions became open defiance in September when Tigray rejected the central government's authority and held its own elections. Now the feud has descended into conflict, with the government vowing to crush what it calls a rebellion.
It will end as soon as the criminals are disarmed, legitimate administration is restored, and fugitives apprehended and brought to justice.
As civilians flee, fears are mounting that Ethiopia could be at the beginning of a protracted and bloody civil war.
Let's go now to the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, where journalist Samuel Getachew is standing by. Hello to you, Samuel. Now, it has been difficult for outsiders to get accurate information on what's going on. What is the latest you can tell us on this conflict?
While the media and the NGO cannot travel to the region, what we are reflecting on is the report that's coming from Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, the NGOs, the people that have fled to Sudan, telling us, telling the world that this is heading to a potential civil war, and many, many people are dying. In Sudan, it's getting up to 20,000 Ethiopians that have moved to the Sudan looking for shelter. So this is becoming a disaster, not just for Ethiopia or the region. It's heading it's affecting everyone. So everybody is overwhelmed with the need that they have. They can't even transport basic food to the area. So you can imagine the impact it's having on the ground.
Well, what exactly sparked this fighting? What is at the heart of the conflict?
It looks like it's, you know, the government, the Ethiopian government has placed a condition for a ceasefire, which is to hand the leadership of the Tigray region, which the central government sees as being illegal, and also the destruction of all arms that they have been storing for a long, long time. You have to remember the TPLF was in federal government, in charge of the Ethiopian federal government for 27 years. So they've only left, they've only gone back to their own state in the last 3 years. So it looks like it's a mixture of power struggle and not wanting to accept the changes that are happening in Addis Ababa. And it's a mixture of all of those. But again, the impact it's having on the ground is just huge. It goes beyond the governments of Addis Ababa and the state of Tigray.
Well, we also know that Tigray is not the only region in Ethiopia that has seen tensions in recent months. Samuel, how is this latest conflict affecting Ethiopia's overall stability?
There was a gunfire or, you know, a sound of fire or a scene in the heart of the Amhara region, in Gondar, in the Bahardar, which is a tourist attraction. We can't confirm if anybody has died, but it's trickling down in all over the nation. But beyond the Tigray conflicts, there's also conflicts all over Oromia region, people dying. So it's becoming a huge disaster. And unless there's going to be a ceasefire, you'll see thousands or many people being affected. A reminder of what happened to Ethiopia some 30 years ago, with the Ethiopian famine that affected so many people and made an instant refugees with thousands, many thousands of Ethiopians all over the world.
Journalist Samuel Getachew in Addis Ababa, thanks so much for your reporting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's get a check now of some of the other stories making news around the world. At least 53 people have died following floods, landslides, and accidents caused by Typhoon Vamco in the Philippines. The storm was the country's deadliest this year. More than 400,000 people had to flee their homes. Meanwhile, Vietnam's central coast is bracing for the typhoon to make landfall early on Sunday. U.S. President Donald Trump has made his first public statement since TV networks called the election for his rival Democrat Joe Biden. Though Trump did not concede, in a reference to the presidential vote, he said, "Time will tell which administration will be in the White House in January."
My administration has initiated the...
Well, the coronavirus continues to spread relentlessly in the United States. More than 177,000 new cases were reported on Friday alone, breaking the daily record for the fourth straight day. New York City, which suffered the country's worst outbreak in the spring, has now reimposed restrictions on bars and restaurants in a new push to curb the spread. All establishments licensed to sell alcohol have been ordered to close by 10 p.m. DW correspondent Bastian Hardik spoke to New Yorkers and asked them what they think about the new restrictions.
New York City was the worldwide epicenter of the pandemic back in April. More than 24,000 people here have died of the virus so far. And the horrific images of the cooling trucks lined up outside the city's hospitals that were overwhelmed by the number of bodies are still on many people's minds. For months, the city has been able to control the number of new infections, but now it's on the rise again. And that's why many New Yorkers agree with the new restrictions that the city is putting in place.
I think it's necessary. There's sort of been a fatigue of people saying we've been protecting ourselves and nothing's happened and people have started to relax. So I think it's really necessary for this restriction to be put in place.
Maybe it's time we need to shut down. I mean, do it sooner. Why not sooner than later?
So you would be in favor of a complete lockdown?
I would be in favor of a complete lockdown, curfew, the whole nine.
If I need to put a mask on, if I need to follow the rules, if I need to stay home, that's what I have to do. We live in a community. I share this planet with other people. And that's the part that I have to do. And each of every one of us needs to play their own part in this.
It makes me feel nervous. Like, even being out here, you just want to make sure you're being into your like own circle, put yourself in a bubble, because you don't want to be too close to somebody who you don't know who is sick or has the COVID virus. So it's just like you never know who you're talking to, Even like going to restaurants, getting your food, you still never know because some people show no symptoms.
As New Yorkers are bracing themselves for a potential second wave, the new restrictions might just be a first step. New York's Mayor Bill de Blasio has already told citizens to prepare for possible school closures as early as this coming Monday.
A peace agreement has ended 6 weeks of bitter conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia. It calls for Armenians to leave large parts of the long-disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region. Well, that's provoked outrage in Armenia, where people see themselves betrayed by their government and also by Russia, which oversaw the deal. Those forced from their homes say they are leaving nothing for their enemies.
One last look before leaving it all behind. While their home might still be somewhat intact after 6 weeks of conflict, their right to live there is not. Now many Armenian residents of the Kalbajar region are intentionally burning their homes before they're forced to hand them over to their enemies. After decades raising their families here and fighting to keep the territory, the new peace deal says it's time to leave. In the end, we will blow up or put a fire to all of this. We will not leave anything to them. Now children in Armenia are crying. They want to return home. It's hard, this depth of sorrow. For decades, the Nagorno-Karabakh region has been the source of bloody conflict between the two countries. Under the ceasefire agreement signed by the leaders of Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Russia on Tuesday, Azerbaijan will regain control of the Kalbajar region and several other areas. As Armenians there flee, many say they want to know why Russia has abandoned them. It was Soviet Russia that originally declared Nagorno-Karabakh part of Azerbaijan 100 years ago. But the majority of people who lived there remained Armenians. Now, under the new Russian-brokered peace deal, that is set to change. Defending the new deal, Putin is calling for a humanitarian response to the chaos the conflict has unleashed. We must turn our attention to the serious humanitarian problems in the Nagorno-Karabakh region. Over 4,000 civilians were victims to the fighting. Over 8,000 were injured. Estimates show the number of refugees is in the tens of thousands. Armenians are furious with Russia and their own government for signing the deal. Since it was announced on Tuesday, thousands have taken to the streets of Yerevan daily to demand Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan resign. As this latest turn in history plays out, people on both sides are mourning the thousands who have died in just the past 6 weeks of battle for control of Nagorno-Karabakh.
Liverpool soccer star Mohamed Salah has tested positive for the coronavirus while on international duty with Egypt. The Egyptian Football Association confirmed the news on Friday. The forward has no symptoms, but he will self-isolate. It's a huge blow for coach Jurgen Klopp. Salah is Liverpool's top goal scorer and could miss the club's next two matches. You're up to date on DW News. Don't forget, you can always get a lot more news and information on our website. Just go to dw.com. We leave you now with pictures of Hindus around the world celebrating the Festival of Lights called Diwali. I'm Marina Evanstein. Thanks for watching.